comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.
Ah, family. As Marge Kennedy said, the informality of family life is a blessed condition that allows us all to become our best whilst looking our worst. The best thing about families is that none are really perfect. As you can imagine by now, this second episode of 800 Pound Gorilla is all about the most hilarious family moments. But let's start from the very beginning. Some people want to start a new family by making kids. Talking about kids, Jeff Dye would love to have some, and he'd much rather hang out with them than adults.
I don't know, marriage is weird. I think I'd like to do it just because I want kids, you know? And that's the only way to get kids, I think. Like, I could, like, go get some girl pregnant or something, but that's not ideal. Because then she might be like, you don't even want to be my boyfriend, and then she'll keep the kid for me and all that. I just wish there was a way I could go get a kid, you know? Like, when I wanted a dog, they didn't ask any questions, you know? Like, when I went and got a dog, they were like, yeah, but are you seeing someone? I was just like, no, man, just give me a fucking dog. It was actually scary how easy it is to get a dog, you know? You just walk in and there's some guy like, you want this dog? You're like, mm-hmm. Like, you gonna kill it? I was like, mm-mm. And then now I have a dog. That's all that happened. I wish kids were like that, you know? It'd be cool, you know? I have like a little kid running around my house. Ah! My friend's like, we didn't even know you were dating anyone. I'm like, no, that's a rescue. You know, that's Jeff Jr. He's the shit, man. I get along better with the kids. I didn't know that was going to happen, though. I was on a plane. I fly all the time, you know, for comedy. And obviously. So what happens when you're on a plane, I don't know if you guys travel a lot, but if you don't, what happens when you're a guy traveling alone, when you have an empty seat next to you on a plane, you hope it's a beautiful lady. Even if you're married, or it doesn't matter, because just ladies are smaller than fellas, and they smell good usually, and you just, even if you're not, like, you know, being a creep, you're just kind of like, I hope it's a lady. But it never is. It's always like some guy with like a hump or a tail or some shit. You never get anybody you want to sit by. Just ask you all these annoying questions. So basically what you do is you learn if you travel a lot, to like just avoid that. You'll have like a paper or something, and so they'll go, oh, he's reading, doesn't he? He's busy, you know, or you put big headphones on or something. Try to avoid those conversations. But what happened on a flight that I had a few months ago was different than any other flight I've ever been on. I'm sitting there, got my paper, I got my headphones, and I'm just hoping that the hot chick comes to sit by me. And the flight attendant comes, and she takes a little boy. He's like 5 years old. She like plops him in the seat, she buckles him in. She's like, all right, well, when the plane lands, a lady dressed like me is gonna take you to your family. But till then, just sit tight. And then she left. She left me with a child. I know nothing about kids. I don't know what they eat. I don't know what to talk about, you know? But I could tell he was nervous. You know, he was like gripping the sides of the seat and he was just looking straight down. He was just sitting there like that. And so I felt like, I fly a lot. I'll take this little guy under my wing, you know? So I take my headphones off. I don't know what to say. I was like, hey, how's it going, buddy? And he's like, I was like, flying by yourself, huh? You're like a real adult. And he's like, yeah, I guess, yeah. And so then I tried to make a joke, because that's how I make friends in real life, you know? So I was like, so what are you, like a lawyer or something? And he's like, no. I was like, that's my fault. I don't know why. Probably doesn't even know what a lawyer is. So then because of that, it was weird for like 2 minutes, you know? And I'm sitting there gripping the side of the seat, like, I don't know what to say. He's sitting there. We're both just weird now. And then what happened next was my favorite part. The little guy tried to strike up a conversation with me, you know? He tried to help me out, you know? So he turns to me and he goes, did you like the movie A Bug's Life? And I was like, I loved A Bug's Life. So we start hitting it off, right? Best best conversation I've ever had on a plane. Talking about our favorite parts, how many times we've seen it, who we saw it with, how we both loved the caterpillar. It's getting good, right? And the only reason I tell this story to you right now is because at about minute 10 of having a conversation with this 5-year-old, I started to panic in my brain, you know? Like, is this where I'm at maturity-wise? Like, this... I've had thousands of flights next to adults, never enjoyed it as much as this 5-year-old exchange, you know? So I'm hoping, I'm sitting there hoping, like, I hope this just stops, you know? Like, he's a good kid, but I hope it ends, you know? And it shows that I'm 31 still, you know? So then the conversation starts to peter out, you know? And so then it's like kind of ramping down. I'm like, all right, so it's over, you know? And then he asks a follow-up question, you know? Because he's not done talking to me. So he's like, do you like quesadillas? And I was like, I fucking love quesadillas! And we were right back in it! The whole plane ride! It was terrifying! This guy had no idea little kids were so awesome, you know? Like, he got off the plane, I felt like I lost a friend, you know? I was like, should we exchange info or something? I don't know. Like, if little kids could drink, I would hang out with them exclusively. So much better than adults. They don't care about anything. They're never sad about anything. They're just kind of like, yeah, I'll play with this pencil. You know, they don't give a shit. It's a way better way to live.
Fair enough, Jeff. But it's never easy getting young children to sleep. And Maz Jobrani has some first-hand advice for avoiding getting your babies used to a routine of luxury.
Oh my God, I love these kids, man. I love them, but they're exhausting. Where's the couples without kids? Couples without kids, couples? There you go, there you go. Advice time, put this in your phone. Once you do have kids, whatever you decide to do to put the kids to sleep, get used to it. Because babies love routine. My wife and I, we messed up with our baby girl, the 4-year-old. Ever since she was born, the way we put her to sleep, we would sing to her, turn on a wave machine, and give her a massage. Yeah, she's gotten used to it. So now at our house, around 8 o'clock every night, it turns into a spa treatment. Baby shows up in a bathrobe. Hi, I'm here for my Swedish. I believe it's with Papa. He was a little rough last time. Tell him to take it easier, please. And as an adult, when you go to sing to your kids, you realize how few songs you know from beginning to end. For the past 4 years, anytime it's my turn to put to sleep, I sang the only song that I know how it begins and ends. Every night, every night. Just, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. And you finish, and kids don't get sick of hearing the same song. You finish, she goes, again. A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Again.
A, B, C, D, E, F, sleep. What is wrong with you? This isn't a concert. I'm not Justin Bieber, sleep. And then when she was learning to talk, she learned 10 names, and she would have to check in with me every night. I would have to assure her that they're sleeping before she would sleep. Every night, I went, Mommy, sleeping. Dara, her brother, sleeping. Cameron, her cousin, sleeping. Donovan, the neighbor's kid, sleeping. Kevin, the neighbor, sleeping. And the neighbor's wife, everyone's sleeping but you. She would finish and start again. Mommy, still sleeping. Dara, A, B, C, D, sleep. Lord Jesus Christ, make her sleep. I'm not even Christian. Make her sleep, Jesus. The first God that puts her to sleep, I'll convert. Let's go, Jesus. Come on, Moses. Where are you, Muhammad? Get involved, Buddha. Come back, Zoroaster. Give it a try, Baha'i. Oh, my God. Manuel, you know who does speak Spanish well in our house? The kids. Because they spend so much time with our Guatemalan nanny. They speak fluently, fluente, fluente, todo fluente, fluente. Todo bien, fluente. Anytime they hear sirens going by, my kids, policia, policia. I asked the nanny, are you guys running from the cops in the park all day? Sí, señor, they're very little, they watch. The policia, we run, it's fantastic. I'm teaching them all the language. Next week, they're going to learn limigra, we run faster. Policia, policia.
Jerry D is another desperate dad over the whole kids sleeping thing. But is lack of sleeping the worst part of having kids?
The first thing you do, you're dying to have kids. Everybody's, your whole life, you're like, oh, I want to have kids. If you have them, hopefully you wanted them. They don't sleep. That's the worst part. Some of you got lucky and you got those kids that, and you brag about how they sleep. Yeah, that one person is in every answer. Ours don't sleep, our first one especially. So for 18 months, we did not get a full sleep. She would wake up 2, 3, 4 times a night. Unbelievable. Finally, she slept through the night. You don't even enjoy it. That's the most terrifying experience of my life. Yeah, any of you that have kids that have gone through this, you know what that feels like. You're lying in bed at 6 a.m., you wake up, you're startled, you're like, oh my God. You don't think she slept through the night, you think she died. That's what you think. That's what you think. You're terrified, and you blame it on each other. I told you you put too many blankets in the crib. I don't want to take them. But you are so tired from lack of sleeping, you actually lay there for 5 seconds and think, well, there's nothing we can do now. She would want it that way. Let's go back to bed. I watch a lot of sports with my wife. Not because I want to, because she just enters the room. And it's funny because she likes the reality shows like American Idol and Big Brother. And then we have a pool. She has a little family pool, which is not two of us in the pool. She sends me updates and stuff. It's a waste of time. It's my money, first of all. I pay for all four of us. But now the kids are in the pool. So there's a chart. You're in last place. Okay, I don't really care. I just was doing this for points. But I'm watching gold medal, the Olympics, and Canada's playing, and it's the biggest game of my lifetime, and my wife wants to make it a family affair. Yes. So she comes in, she's breastfeeding the 2-month-old at the time. The nut job is on the couch. She's watching Cinderella, full volume, because if it's not full volume, she'll lose it. So I'm just trying to focus. I got this, I got sucking motion here, I got songs here, and I'm just trying to watch. I swear to God, my wife says in the middle of the game, no commercial, she points to our daughter breastfeeding. She says, do you think that she would recognize a different woman's breast right now? What am I supposed to say to that? You know what? I was thinking about that, actually. Yeah. Oh. Why don't we get a different woman's breast in here right now? Do that. But sometimes she makes fun of herself, which can be funny, because my daughter was running around in front of the TV one day. She had a diaper on under her track pants. So we took it off to try to teach her, and now she's, my wife says, God, what a difference, no diaper. Look how small her bum looks. Again, I'm watching the game, and I'm like, yeah, tiny. That's a trick men use. We throw back a synonym, and you think we're in the conversation. We don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, tiny. I don't know what you said. I heard small, tiny. Is that it? Am I talking to you right now? Good, is this good? It was funny because then my wife cuts herself up and she says, I should do that. I said, you should do what? She says, I should wear a diaper all day. And then right before bed, take it off. And my bum will suddenly look small. Yeah. You could do that, or you could run once in a while. Don't ever say that. That's
FUBAR Radio presents
Ian Molesworth,
joined now by Kadeem Ramsey. So we're talking about Top Boy, which Nat's a bit obsessed with, and you come in with branded Top Boy gear. Are you contractually obliged to do that?
No, I just like it.
You wear it well.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it looks good.
I just feel like wearing it.
Nice hoodie.
The only show I watch currently is Top Boy. I've been watching Top Boy over and over.
I love that you watch your own show. That's really great.
No, that's the only it I've been watching.
Are you going for your Top Boy tattoo after you've done this interview? Right across your forehead.
Scared of tattoos.
Are you really?
Yeah, I don't want to be getting a tattoo and the guy says, whoops, that's one thing I don't want to hear.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club.
We're joined in the studio now by one of my favourite comedians, Rhys James. I always say in taxis and stuff like that, I always say I'm a writer.
Yeah, me too. Have I told you this story before?
No.
The time I got in a taxi, and I always used to do that writer because you don't want to have the conversation with the taxi driver about being a comedian.
But the follow-up question is just you can't get out of, which is, what do you write?
Yeah.
I write sitcoms.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So I was in this taxi. He goes, what sort of stuff do you write? And I went, comedy. I thought, oh, fuck sake. And then he went, oh, what type of comedy do you write? And I said, satire. And then the taxi driver said, you know what they say? Satire is the lowest form of wit.
Joey Page.
Jim Sturgis joins us in the studio. Do you find when you've been like, it's obviously rehearsals and filming and that takes a real long time. Yeah. Do you sometimes find the traits of these characters seeping into your life?
There was a film I did called London Fields where I was covered in tattoos. I was playing like a really unpleasant character in that film and it started to rub off on me and I was sort of walking around thinking I was probably a lot harder than I am in real life and someone nearly ran me over in a car and I was a little too quick to fucking offer him out.
I come out of this studio on a Wednesday going, I'm well good at this, and then it's like, I might get out of my way, I'm getting on the bus.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
£800 Gorilla Records.
Hi, and welcome back to the second episode of £800 Gorilla on FUBAR Radio. Today's show is all about family moments. Every parent thinks that their children are the most beautiful, the strongest, and the most intelligent creatures on earth. But Jim Jeffries had the realization that his kid wasn't the smartest after all.
Hank's a smart kid. I think he's smart because he's the only kid I know. I don't hang out with other kids. So he's just turned three, but like when he was two, we put him into this school. I remember when he was two, my friends used to come over all the time, and I was just such a proud father that I'd be like, Hank's a genius. And they're like, why? How do you know? I'm like, Hank, what's that? And Hank would go, red fire truck. And I'd be like, damn, fucking straight as a red fire truck. I taught him that, red fire truck. So anyway, we put him into this preschool for two-year-olds. It was like a fancy one in Hollywood. And so it costs a lot of money, but the school's kind of cool. They teach them how to swim. They toilet train them. They got this great big turtle that walks amongst the kids like a shitty Jurassic Park. And on the first day we went there to meet all the other parents and the teachers and all the other students and everything. So I show up early with me and Hank down at the school. And we got there super early, like an hour before everyone else got there. And we're there and the turtle walks by and I'm with Hank and I went, Hank, that's a turtle. Can you say turtle? And then this kid walks up and goes, hi, I'm Simon. All right. Hello, Simon. And he goes, actually, I'm Simon the third. I'm the third Simon. My dad's a Simon. His dad's a Simon. That's my grandfather. So one, two, three, third Simon. All right. When I grow up, I want to be a baseball player. I can't decide which team because Mum likes the Angels and Dad likes the Dodgers, so there's a bit of conflict at home. How old are you, Simon? Simon did not give me his age. Simon gave me his date of birth. And it turned out that Simon was 3 months younger than Hank. And I turned and I looked at my fucking idiot son. And Hank went, turtle! And I said, yes, Hank, that's a turtle. And then Simon went, It's a tortoise. I didn't know that before. Turns out the tortoises just live on the land and turtles live in the water and on the land. Simon taught me that.
Kids grow up fast. One day they cry and poo everywhere, and then suddenly they are ready to go to school. Talking about school, sometimes dealing with schoolmates can be quite challenging. Cy Amundsen knows it really well.
I don't like it when parents act like they're 100% right about having kids just because they have kids. I went over to eat at my friend Eric's house. I sat down across from his 5-year-old son, Charlie. When I sat down, I realized Charlie had a cut on his nose and a bruise on his face. And since when it comes to kitty face wounds, I have a see something, say something policy. I was like, Charlie, what happened? And he goes, a boy at school threw a rock and hit me in the face. And before I could react, my friend Eric goes, and Charlie, why don't you tell Uncle Cy how you responded to that scenario? And Charlie went, I just smiled at him like this, and then calmly walked away. And my friend Eric goes, pretty mature and impressive, don't you think? Absolutely not. Concerning and horrifying is what I think. What are you, raising a tiny Bond villain? You know what rocks are, right? You've held one of those. Those are heavy things. What do you mean he didn't cry? I was on a bike ride a few weeks ago. I got hit in the face with a butterfly, and it ruined my entire weekend. He goes, we just thought it was a proper adult response, Cy. If I threw a rock at an adult and hit him in the face, and that adult's response was just to smile at me and then calmly walk away, I bet you that adult knows my address. Come sunup, he's gonna be doing weird stuff to what's left of my skin. He goes, we're just trying to create a safe environment here at the home, Cy. Well, you failed, man. Because I have rarely felt this unsafe. What, am I supposed to rest easy with old No Tears Boulder Nose running around back there? And then Eric started getting mad. And I know that because he said, I'm getting mad. So I said, great. Now teach your son that emotion. You know, so next time somebody rocket launches a pebble at his talking box, he has some options. Put some plays in the kid's playbook that aren't what would Ted Bundy do? He goes, you have no idea what you're talking about, Cy. You've never raised a child. I'm sure, but I had a dog. And if somebody kicked my dog in the face and he just wagged his tail and hopped off, I might maybe get a new dog. At the very least, I'd question my training methods. Okay, guys, am I playing fetch wrong? Because it seems like my dog doesn't feel pain. He goes, you wouldn't last one day watching Charlie. You wouldn't last a day. It's like, fine, man, let's do it. So I watched him for a whole day. Eric dropped him off at 9 o'clock in the morning. I watched him all day long. And at 6 o'clock in the evening, when Eric walked through the door to pick him up, I hit him in the face with a rock. And he screamed the F word at me and he said we weren't friends anymore. So I said, see, Charlie, now that's a proper adult response.
As soon as your children go to school, they try to rebel and look cool in front of all their peers. And Chad Daniels has some parenting tips about that.
My son, he swore at me for the first time, which is a little weird because he's sworn around me before, but never at me. When he was 10, he crashed his bike and he just looked at me and he goes, fucking A. I don't know if you've ever seen a little kid use that kind of an adult swear word, but it is precious. It is. You can't even get mad. You're like, oh. That's so cute. Because I go, hey, swearing is fine, but I need you to come up with three other ways to say that without swearing. And he just looked at me and he goes, it hurt, it sucked, I want to break my bike. And I was like, all right, fucking AOA. But swearing at me is a different ballgame. I made him dinner one night and he goes, I'm not eating this, this sucks. And I go, yep, you are eating it. And he goes, no, I'm not. And I go, you can eat it now or you can eat it for breakfast. Or I can pack that in your lunch for tomorrow, but that is your next meal. And then he started breathing heavier, so I knew he was mad and nervous, and he looked at me and he Porky Pigged a little bit. He goes, that's bullshit. I was like, have a little trouble getting that one out, did you? I go, you think you're a man? You want to step outside and see if you're a man? And he goes, yeah. And he walks away from the dinner table, never breaking eye contact, goes to the front door, puts on his Velcro shoes. Nothing quite says I'm a man like quack, 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 quack. And he goes, are you coming? I said, no, I'm not. I'm going to eat my food because it's warm. And he said, I thought you were going to beat the hell out of me in the front yard. Huh, I never said that. What I said was, do you think you're a man? You want to step outside and see if you're a man? What I meant was, you're going to camp in our yard for 1 week and eat only the animals you kill. That way, when your BB gun jams up on the second day, you can come in here and eat the rest of this bullshit. Because it will be waiting for you. I hope that's okay. I'm not gonna beat the hell out of my son in my front yard, right? That is illegal. I will invite him into my home. I will let him fall asleep. And I will choke him to death. And the cops are like, what happened to your kid? Fucking SIDS, man. I don't know, I guess once it's in there, it doesn't leave till it gets you. I did not know that either. That's not a great way to find out. The I stands for infant, and he made it till he was 16? That kid is a fighter. I'm sorry, that kid was a fighter. Still pretty fresh, working on the tenses. I also have a daughter, and she is 11 years old. She does not like me to talk about her on stage, and I try to respect that, but there are some things she does that need to be told. So, here we go. I brought her to the Lego movie a while ago, obviously, and we were in one row, it was her and I, and then two rows ahead of us, there was a grown man that was there all by himself eating M&Ms out of a bag that he had ripped the corner off of. He was sticking one finger in, rustling around, pulling out one M&M, and then eating it with his mouth open. So it was a lot of this during the movie. Finally, my daughter goes, hey, what are you wrapping presents up there? That's what she said. I want you to know my daughter is not a bitch. But she thinks that's a funny tone to use because she has heard me use it with my friends and it has received laughter. My daughter doesn't realize her father only hangs out with assholes. So she goes, what are you wrapping presents up there? And the guy turns around and he goes, what? And I can feel her body freeze and I can hear her breath quicken. And she just goes, sorry. And then he looked at me like, that's what I thought, and he turned around. So then I said to her, loud enough for him to hear, I go, you don't have to apologize to him because you asked him a question, but he answered it with a question, and that's not how conversations work. And the guy turned around and he looked at me and he goes, what? And I said, are you wrapping presents up there? I mean, we could do this all night long. And he held up of his bag of M&Ms with the dainty corner ripped off and he shook it at me like a rattlesnake tail. And I said, that's not an excuse, man. Tear off the top, pour it into your palm, and shove it in your face like a goddamn American. And he turned around and I thought we were done, but we were not. Because he turned back around about 2 minutes later, looked at my daughter, and he goes, you know what? You disrespected me. And my daughter goes, you know what? I'm supposed to be here. I know. She's the best. And then she just put up knuckles like this. Like, what's up? That's a bad bitch right there. She's such a funny kid.
FUBAR Radio presents Ian
Molesworth, joined now by Kadeem Ramsey. So we're talking about Top Boy, which Nat's a bit obsessed with, and you come in with branded Top Boy gear. Are you contractually obliged to do that?
No, I just like it.
It's good. No, look,
it's
you wear it well.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah,
I just feel like wearing it.
Nice
today.
Hoodie.
The only show I watch currently is Top Boy. I've been watching Top Boy over and over.
I love that you watch your own show. That's really
great. No, that's not only it. I've been watching.
Are you going for your Top Boy tattoo after you've done this interview? Right across your forehead.
I'm scared.
Are you really?
Yeah,
are you?
I don't want to be getting a tattoo and the guy says, whoops, that's one thing I don't want to hear.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club.
We're joined in the studio now by one of my favourite comedians, Rhys James. I always say in taxis and stuff like that, I always say I'm a writer.
Yeah, me too. Have I told you this story before?
No.
The time I got in a taxi, and I always used to do that writer because you don't want to have the conversation with the taxi driver about being a comedian.
But the follow-up question is just you can't get out of, which is, what do you write?
Yeah, and then
I write sitcoms.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So I was in this taxi. He goes, what sort of stuff do you write? And I went, comedy. I thought, oh, fuck, mate. And then he went, oh, what type of comedy do you write? And I said, satire. And then the taxi driver said, you know what they say? Satire is the lowest form of wit.
Joey Page.
Jim Sturgis joins us in the studio. Do you find when you've been, like, obviously rehearsals and filming and that takes a real long time, do you sometimes find the traits of these characters seeping into your life?
There was a film I did called London Fields where I was covered in tattoos. I was playing like a really unpleasant character in that film and it started to rub off on me and I was sort of walking around thinking I was probably a lot harder than I am in real life and someone nearly ran me over in a car and I was a little too quick to fucking offer him out.
I come out of this studio on a Wednesday going, I'm well good at this, and then it's like, my mate, get out of my way, I'm getting on the bus.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio.
800 Pound Gorilla Records.
Hello and welcome back to the second episode of 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio. Today's show is all about the word with the capital F. No guys, I don't mean fuck, I mean family. It's true, generations are changing. Kids are so different these days and they can also be very difficult at school. Jerry D has some stories to share about his experience as a teacher.
When I taught, I was so unprepared for the way kids had changed. Like from my generation, I never heard kids curse. And how old was, what age of you had a kid, the youngest someone's cursed?
11.
One of Connor's buddies. Can you say what they said? No. Yeah, I'm gonna say what they said to me. Did they use the F word?
Yeah.
And how did they use it? You're an effing.
This effing sucks.
They said, this fucking sucks. That's what they said. And what sucked? What was it that you were doing?
Writing.
You were making them write, which they don't do anymore, so it probably did fucking suck. But what did you do when they said that? 11 years old. That's not appropriate. Good one. That's not appropriate. Fuck you, it's appropriate. Okay, it might be a little bit appropriate, but the writing sucks, so maybe a tiny bit. There's nothing you can do, right? You're helpless, and that's my point. I don't know if anybody, I was my first year. I was 4 days into teaching in Toronto. I was ecstatic to have my own class. I was excited, okay? But I was only substituting, so it wasn't really my own class. But kid comes into my class this big, 12 years old, right after phys ed, looks me in the eye, no fear. I didn't expect this. He goes, did you take my fucking shoe? And the first thing you do is you can't believe what's going on. You turn, you go, what did he say? And they all repeat it. They're like, okay, I heard it, actually. Yeah, that's what he said. Nice. So you do stuff like this. You say, you know, that was, I said, that is not appropriate. Fuck you. You will not talk like that. Fuck off! There's nothing you can do. You can't hit them, you can't say anything. You should be allowed to belittle them. That's what should happen. What'd you say? And take your fucking shoe? First of all, you got a 30 average, okay? You're as dumb as a stump. You can't read. Why don't you find a book once in a while, moron? You can't even do that. You gotta stand. This is how I stood, like a teapot. This is how intimidating it is. I swear to you, I was like, you will not talk to me like that. Fuck you, I will. You know I'm a teapot. I'm a... We have nothing we can do. Go to the office. That's what they taught me in university. Go to the office. He said, fuck you, you go. Okay. They don't take direction very well after they've cursed it. He must have swore at me 30 times. So then I buzz the office, right? So I'm eyeballing him. Like, as soon as I touch this button, he's like this. Fuck you. Just kept saying it. So I buzz the office. It's my fourth day, and I said, yes, I have a student, and I'm sending him down. He yells, I'm not fucking going! Okay, you know what? Yeah, listen. I'm gonna quit right now. This is it. I don't wanna do this anymore. This is my fourth day. Yeah, I just quit, buddy. So I'm gonna knock the fuck out of you in 2 seconds. Yeah, okay, you gotta call the police. No, I didn't, I just did that.
FUBAR Radio presents Harriet Rose.
Duckworth is here.
Yeah.
Does it feel weird watching yourself back?
Mm-mm. As long as I'm doing well. If it's like moments where like I like totally sucked, or, like my face was weird, or like, I don't know, like just something weird, like a nip slip or some shit like that. And I'm just like,
what's wrong with
God.
The nip slip?
I mean, like there has to be an intentional nip slip. Like,
what,
it's like
Janet Jackson nip slip vibes?
Was that intentional? I don't know if that was intentional or...
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know.
Whatever it was iconic, hun.
It was great. It was iconic. It definitely was iconic. That was one of the best nip slips ever in the world.
I would say it's my favorite nip slip.
It has to be.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Our guest is Mr. Williams.
Yes, brother.
How you doing, brother? You
right? Yes, sir. Yeah, man.
More nice. Weed.
Definitely. Do you still actually smoke? Do you know what I mean?
Actually, yeah.
Yeah?
Do you think that it also helps creativity?
1,000,000%.
Do definitely. You really?
Definitely. 100,000,000%. It even makes me good at maths.
Definitely.
Yeah. 100,000,000%.
Tuesday Takeover.
It's your boy, Jack Fowler. I have got Jamel 1-5.
How much do you weigh?
How much do I weigh? Like 18 stone.
Bro, that's I'm 16.
That,
oh, yeah.
Thank you. I think I'm 14. I think
40
what?
14
kilograms.
Kilograms.
No, 14 kilograms. No, you mean 14 stones.
Stone.
If you're 14, okay, yeah, you're dead. Yeah, you're dead.
It's peak.
He's done out here.
If I'm 14,
bro, yeah. You need to eat. Eat up, man.
Yeah, I actually do.
At that's 5 goats in the morning, man, get me. 12 o'clock.
I just had a
couple babies and that. Oh, yeah. 1 p.m. Yeah.
Yeah.
A bit of salad and that. And then like 2:45.
Yeah.
Couple BBWs, innit?
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
£800 Gorilla Records.
Hi and welcome back to the second episode of £800 Gorilla on FUBAR Radio. Today's show is all about the most iconic, funniest and hilarious family moments. It's nice to start a new life and kids look very cute when they're toddlers. But at some point those kids grow up and guess who knocks on the door? Puberty. Having a teenager in your household can seriously lead to awkward dad and son moments. And Chad Daniels can tell you something about that.
I found a ruler on the sink in my son's bathroom.
I did.
15 minutes after I found the ruler, I knocked on his bedroom door because that is how long it had taken me to stop laughing. I actually knocked with the ruler. For effect, I was just like, tick, 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 tick. As I was doing it, I was like, nothing on this planet right now is funnier than this. Like, as I was doing it, tick, 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 because I was hitting it with the corner and making dots so he would remember it every time he goes in the door. And he goes, yeah? And I go, hey, man, I found the ruler in your bathroom. And he goes, what about, and then, no! That's what he yelled. This kid was so embarrassed, he started two sentences, bailed on both of them, and then fell off a cliff. What about, and then, yeah! So I go, hey, what was going on in the bathroom with the ruler? 30 seconds passes. I do not hear anything from this kid. I don't know if he's barricaded the door, Googling what happens when your dad finds your ruler, or if he's hiding the extra rulers in his bedroom, if he's trying to get the sock off his dick. <laughs> 30 seconds passes, and he finally yells through the door, I was doing math while I was pooping. That's what he yelled at me, aggressively. Like it was my fault. I stumbled upon this ruler in my home. I was doing math while I was pooping. I said, was the answer 4, 5, or 6? It's pretty good, right? It was quick. I didn't put him in a corner. I gave him options. As a comedian, it's like a B+ maybe, but as a dad, it's fucking hilarious, for sure. So after I said 4, 5, or 6, he goes, it's 3X+Y. That's what he said to me. What a dummy. I don't even know what that is, 3X+Y. So I went upstairs and I wrote it down on a piece of paper and I wrote X=1 and Y=lotion and I slid it under his door. I said, what is this? Well, don't tell your teacher, but I'm helping you with your homework. I was so excited, because this kid isn't always saying smart things. He's 16, and he sounds like a foreign exchange student, and he has lived in America his whole life. 3 weeks ago, he goes, Dad, I'm going to the football game. Can I have 30 money? Yeah, would you like rubles, or how would I do that for you? So I gave him $5, and he goes, I need 30. And I go, well, that's the exchange rate, money to dollars. We were talking about evolution one time, and he goes, hey, what do you think about evolution? And I go, I believe that we all crawled out of the sea. And he said, the cunt? No. Nope, not that at all. And he goes, oh my God, can we start over? And I was like, oh my God, can I start over? Before I had children that asked questions like this? Insane. I think my favorite one was one time he goes, oh man, I just burped up some puke. And I go, no, you puked. And he goes, no, you're not getting it. I burped and then puke came up. And I go, you're not getting it. That's puking. I said, have you ever sat on the toilet and thought, man, I'm really farting out some shit right now? No, of course not. Of course you haven't. No one's ever thought that, and certainly no one's ever said it until I did, and I'm a grown man. He makes people around him dumber. Do you understand what I'm telling you? This kid isn't an idiot at all. He's a super genius, and he's fucking with me. That is my new theory, and it was confirmed, because 2 days after that conversation, he said something negative, and I go, hey man, sky's the limit. And he goes, I don't know why people say that when there are footprints on the moon. And I was like, I need you to go to your room for a little bit. You're not in trouble, but I just need some time to figure that out. Because it sounds right, but you said it, so now I'm super confused. Love meter has not moved. Can you believe that? When I go home, I will pick up my kids and we will go to IHOP because that is our new tradition. I love it so much. We talk about the week. I show them pictures of the city I was in. And we can have syrup fights and whipped cream fights because IHOP is already at its maximum stickiness. Right? One time I grabbed my son's arm and held it down on the table and he had to chisel it off with a butter knife. That is a true story. So one day I'd just gotten back from Vancouver and I picked him up and we went to IHOP. And we were hanging out, having a great time. I was showing him pictures of Whistler and stuff. And then the guy brings the bill and I give him my credit card and he goes, okay, I need an ID for that. And I go, yeah, no problem. I only have my passport because I just flew in from Canada. And he said, we don't take those. And I said, yep, you do. And he said, I need a driver's license. And I said, that is a passport. And he said, I need a state-issued ID. And I said, have you heard of the states that have become united? Because there are 50 of them and they all got together and made me that book. That's like 49 extra driver's licenses. As a matter of fact, if you handed me your driver's license, I would use it as a bookmark in my passport. And he grabbed it and threw it into my lap, and he goes, that's an ID to travel around the world. And my daughter goes, isn't this the International House of Pancakes? Yeah. So I'm laughing just like you. I am slapping the table so hard that the knife jumped off the plate. That's how hard I slapped the table. And I feel kicking under the table, and I look at her and I go, what are you doing? She goes, why are you laughing? And I go, because that's hilarious. And she goes, why? And I was like, oh my God. You stumbled upon the funniest thing I've heard in 2 years? I found out later she was trying to reason with this guy and be on my team. Like if she was wearing glasses, she would have ripped them off her face and just been like, sir, does it not make sense that a passport made by these United States of America would be a sufficient form of identification at the International House of Pancakes? Case dismissed. So the manager comes over and he puts his hand on my shoulder and he goes, hey, just so you know, we do take passports here. And I go, yep, we know that. And I go, maybe you should head on back to the kitchen and WikiLeak that to your team. Because I think that's where the problem lies. And so the manager walked away and the waiter walked away and my son, you guys remember him? He goes, hey, next time we have that guy as a waiter, we should pay with $2 bills and watch him shit his pants. I seriously might be raising two of the funniest people that I am gonna have to pick up from jail. Because you know it's gonna happen. My son is definitely gonna get arrested for being a smartass because he doesn't know how to hone his funny yet. He'll get pulled over. I need to see your driver's license, please. Have you heard of the 50 states? Maybe use it as a bookmark. Maybe we could do that. Sir, I'm gonna need you to get out of the car. What about, and then, no!
FUBAR Radio presents
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
We are joined in the studio now by professional comedian Brett Goldstein. How are you doing, Brett?
I'm very grateful to be here with you two.
If you could dig someone up and fuck them.
Gene Kelly.
Gene Kelly and Cary Grant, right?
Not Cary, he's not my type. If I could dig up Gene Kelly, I'd say, could we do a dive?
I've got the shovel in my boot.
In this scenario, is he still dead when you dig him up, or does he come out?
Does he come to life? Is he a rotten corpse, or is he...
That's Fan Club!
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club. Every Friday, from 12 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
800 Pound Gorilla Records.
You're listening to the second episode of 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio. On today's show, it's all about the most iconic, funniest, and hilarious family moments. Sure, children can be stressful, but are we any better to our parents? Cy Amundsen certainly isn't.
I have a lot of free time on my hands, so recently I started cyberbullying my dad. My dad's 64, he got a Facebook account. So I got a hold of his high school yearbook, found his friends that didn't have Facebook accounts, uploaded their pictures, created accounts, added my dad, started talking shit. We got my dad to drive 2 hours to Fargo, North Dakota to meet a high school classmate named Mel that we were pretending to be. I know what you're thinking, Si, that's called catfishing. Don't worry, I'm gonna get to the bully part. My dad got in his truck. He drove 2 hours to Fargo. My brother and I followed behind him, giggling the entire way. He went in the restaurant. He waited 2 hours for Mel. Mel didn't show, cause we're Mel. We laughed those 2 hours also. He got back in his truck. He drove 2 more hours back home. We are now at 6 hilarious total hours. Watched him walk in the house, open up his laptop to open up a message from Mel that said, "Walked in, saw your face, you're still a bitch, took off." Internet's a young man's game, Bruce. Don't feel bad for him. Don't feel bad for my dad. He gets what he deserves. He retired, so he doesn't know what to do with himself, so he's bothering me all the time. So I was like, "Dad, you need to get some retirement hobbies." He called me. He's like, "I think I got a couple, bud." He's like, "Oh yeah, Dad, what are you doing?" He goes, "Well, I've started making my own wine and building my own knives." "All right, Dad, those aren't retirement hobbies. Those are things guys do in prison." "Is everything all right at home between you and Mom? Is there some sort of turf war situation going on that you need to get liquored up and make a shiv? How about you knock it off, Shawshank?" And he goes, "Just so we're clear, wine is a high-class beverage." Called my mom. He's currently fermenting his first ever batch of wine in their garage in a 5-gallon bucket. The only way his wine could be lower class is if he was stirring it with a Mountain Dew Code Red can in sight of Kid Rock's mouth. He goes, "Make fun of me all you want, but you're gonna be eating your words when I take home first prize at the wine tasting competition." "Is that your real plan, Bruce? You were a college professor. Is that your real plan?" I'm gonna gloss over the fact that I don't know if you even know if those are real competitions. I think you're just fucking winging it right now. I'm gonna focus on the fact that if they indeed are, there is no way you're gonna win one of those. Never will you hear the words like, "All right, ladies and gentlemen, the moment you've all been waiting for, first prize at today's wine tasting competition is a Minnesota Select from Bruce's Funky Bucket Wines." "Now, this particular red was aged for nearly half a decade on a garage shelf next to some toxic paints and, of course, ant poisons. The grapes were foot stomped by the proprietor, Bruce Amundsen himself, and then also by his dog, Jackie, when he wasn't paying attention. And if you taste, you get a bit of an earthiness there. That earthiness is from the actual dirt that was in the bucket at the start of the fermentation process. Because as Bruce's wife and reluctant co-owner Joanne puts it, he's never cleaned out anything in his whole life. Why would he start with that fucking bucket?"
It is also true that our folks lose it sometimes, and Kathleen Madigan has something to say about that.
Parents are getting older. There's moments where you're hanging out with them and you're like, "Wow, are you actually going crazy in front of me? Like, should I call someone? I don't know what to do." I was in Target with my mom. She opened her wallet and all of her credit cards were individually wrapped in tinfoil. She unwraps one and hands it to me as if that's a completely normal exchange of information. I go, "We're not gonna talk about that." She goes, "Talk about what, Kathleen?" I go, the tinfoil, Mom. The tinfoil. She goes, well, obviously you have not been keeping up with the news. I said, well, no, I actually thought I had been. Well, then you must have missed the story about the ray gun people. Who are the ray gun people? She said, well, your father and I saw it on 2040 or 60, 80 or 100 minutes, whatever those series, it was a very serious program. There are people now, Kathleen, with computer ray guns, and they can shoot that ray gun through my purse, through my wallet, and they gather all of your personal information off of that strip on the back of your debit card. They can shoot through your father's ass at a gas station, right through his ass into his wallet. I thought, okay, my mom's not stupid. She was a nurse for a million years, so I called my friend in Boston who's been a cop forever, and I asked him about the ray gun people and told him about the tinfoil. He said two things, Kathleen. Number one, no, I have not heard about the ray gun people, but in fairness to your mom, I haven't checked my work email in 3 days. Now, number two, and more importantly, what I do know from being a cop for 20 years is that crazy people love tinfoil. You don't need to tell your mother. I'm just telling you so you know that is a fact. An old cop told me that. Always carry tinfoil in your squad car. If you come across someone who's having a psychotic break or maybe someone in a drug frenzy, you just tear off a piece of tinfoil. You calmly walk over and go make a hat. And the whole situation.
Shout out to Kathleen's mum and shout out to the miraculous tinfoil. But family is not just about parents and children. It is also about siblings. And Greg Warren has certainly experienced the highs and mainly lows of having multiple brothers.
I got a couple brothers. My brother Devin is 18 years younger than me. Born when I was a senior in high school. And he came to visit me last summer in New York and he bought a $450 pair of Jordans. $450 for some basketball shoes, and he does not play basketball. When he bought them, he goes, hey man, don't tell dad about this. I'm like, I'm not gonna tell dad. By the way, you're 30, okay? You have a job, you have a wife, you have a house. It's not dad's business what you do with your money. Then I was home for Christmas, and my dad's like, Greg, can you pass the potatoes? I'm like, Devin bought a $450 pair of Jordans. My dad flipped out, man. He flipped out. My dad does Marshall's math. No matter what item of clothing you buy, he will tell you how many of that item of clothing you could have bought for the same amount of money at Marshall's every time. $50 for a shirt, $50 for one shirt. You could buy 11 shirts at Marshall's for $50, son. I'm not really a clothes guy, but I don't blow a lot of money, but I have these jeans, okay? They're called 7 jeans. I discovered them like 5 years ago. They fit me. Before that, it was life before 7 jeans and life after 7 jeans. Like, they're awesome. They fit me well. $200 for 7 jeans. I gotta buy them. Don't tell my dad. He would not be happy. $200 for one pair of blue jeans? $200 for, but you could buy Marshalls for $200, son. You could be Marshall. He's retired, he's bored, he's got one hobby. He likes going out to eat and getting a deal and bragging about it. He tells cheap dinner stories like they're war stories. There was 8 of us. Everybody had an entree. Everybody had at least 2 drinks. Your mother had 5. How much you think we paid? $140. $36.50 with tip. Well, then you ate dog food, Dad, all right? Your brother and I went to lunch at Sullivan's. We got out of there for $9. You got out of there? Was it a hostage situation, Dad?
FUBAR Radio.
My name is Dr. Ranj. It was like coming back home and meeting your mates and just having a drink and having a natter and a gossip with them. So I've had a fantastic time.
You're listening to Football Radio.
£800 Gorilla Records.
Unfortunately, this is the end of this £800 Gorilla episode, but don't miss out on the next one. Always on FUBAR Radio.
That was comedy with £800 Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.